Hello, Cynthia here.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me? Hi.
Diana Robbins here.
Oh, hi, Diana.
Hi, how are you? Hi,
I'm
DJ.
Okay.
Good.
Oops, what happened?
I don't know. Hi, Diana.
Hi.
Is that Wendy?
No, it's me. I'm Diana Rosas. Yeah. I just had my camera off. She'll be here right now.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Diana.
Hello.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dana.
Keeping everything working over there?
So far.
Hi, Dennis.
Dennis?
Dennis here? I don't see him yet. That's Dan Foss. He's our
public
works director.
I'm sorry. Hi, Dan.
That's okay. I figured it out. It's close enough.
We're always looking for Dennis.
Yeah.
He's trying to run a business or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think he was here last time.
He was. He should be here.
Yeah.
Anton, is it Artemio?
Artemio Villegas, he's one of our council members.
Hey, Artemio.
Hi, Artemio.
Oh, here.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Anita said she was going to try to stop in, but she had to make a stop, one stop first. So, and Santos might join us. So,
yeah, I thought you comment about that. So, don't worry.
Okay.
It's good to know there are people still running the city.
Yeah.
Anna, were you able to get a volunteer for that Fresno thing?
No, Randy said he wasn't available.
If they still really need somebody, I can have Adam maybe sit in. I can have somebody. I know how desperate people are. Sometimes.
Because I get to that point sometimes too. So I'll find out and let you know. Thank you.
It seems like a really long one too.
Two and a half days or 1.5 days out of it. Yeah, that's long for sure.
So I won't do it, but I'll volunteer somebody else.
Okay.
That's the spirit. Hey, Wendy, I have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
Who is our emergency coordinator? You made a reference to it, and I'm thinking it might be you.
I was going to say, it kind of depends on the context. So the city manager is usually designated as sort of like the emergency services director, but when we're not in an emergency, I'm the coordinator.
I knew it. Okay. So there's Mr. Lateef. Hi.
Good afternoon. Yes.
Nice to see you.
Thank
you. Hi, Ms. Lateef.
Yes. You have audio and video today. Good job.
Yeah.
I have both.
And we have Cynthia. Tim is going to join us, so at least he indicated. So let's give him another couple of minutes.
And
Cynthia's on the phone.
Oh, okay.
So Diana, do you know if Cynthia ever got her minutes by mail?
Yes, they were mailed to her on Friday.
Okay.
I haven't checked the mail today, so.
Possibly. And I sent out a reminder about 2-ish, so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's kind of warm out there today. I've been struggling with the heat. Everybody else has, too.
I think we all been struggling with the heat.
It's coming down.
Yes.
Okay. And Gabriella said she was going to try to join us too. So there's Mark. Getting to be a regular, Mark.
It's 3:32.
Okay, do we want to start the meeting? Call to order at 3:32. Roll call, please.
DJ Becker.
Here.
Tim Roche. Cynthia Ortegon.
Here.
Muhammad Latif.
Present.
Dennis Smith. Diana Robbins.
Here. Yeah.
Gabriella Gonzalez.
We have a quorum.
All right.
Public comment. Do we have anyone here for public comment? Seeing none, I will skip the verbiage. Anyone as a guest wishing to be recognized? Okay. So we'll proceed to business matters, which would be the approval of the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes from July 20th?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Any changes?
No.
Seeing none, do we have a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
Yes.
I move that we accept the minutes
as presented.
As being presented.
Second.
And there's a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 I'll do a roll call for it. DJ Becker?
Aye.
Yes.
Cynthia Ortegon?
Aye.
Muhammad Latif?
Aye.
And Diana Robbins?
Aye.
So no one's opposed. Motion passes unanimously. All righty. So that brings us to item number two, an update on 311. The citizen's application. Mark from IT, please.
Yes, hi. I have a meeting scheduled with the implementer on Tuesday to finalize getting the final edits done. We've had a delay being the fact that the Munis implementation manager has retired, and I'm trying to get both positions done along with the implementation. So we should have something to demo in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Is there anything that we could test for you?
Probably you will be the first ones to demo it.
Great. I got my new scooter, so I'm ready.
Cynthia's chomping at the bit for that, Mark.
All right.
So, and then if you could just recap it, did we work out the geotagging feature? So if someone comes across an impassable area, what would they be able to do? Oh my.
It should, from my understanding with the application, it should tag the location that they're at if they use the phone.
Okay. And so a resident would be able to click and then report that to the city. So it would be like a impassable curb, a broken sidewalk. What would that entail?
Correct. They would click on a couple of menu items and select and then they could just click on it and then create a short description and submit that, and it would go to the right people.
Okay. Is there a photo involved?
Yes, that would be preferable. It's optional, but it would be ideally you would take a photo of the situation.
Okay. And then which departments is that planning to go to?
Whoever it needs to go to. This isn't limited to sidewalks.
Okay. So there's a pull down menu for departments. So it'd be like code enforcement, animal control. What would it be?
Correct. It would be a pull down menu for issues. And then those be routed to the correct department.
Okay. Do we know what the issues would be?
I'd have to look them up. Okay. I'll be able to give you a full description in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's great news. And that's a phone app that someone has to download.
Correct.
Okay. What's the plan to publicize that?
Once it's complete, then I would turn that over to Joseph, which is our media personnel, And he would be the one to reach out and publish that wherever necessary to get the word out.
Okay. And I'm thinking, you know, Facebook or, because I have a pardon? Didn't hear you, Diana.
Okay. I think it was Cynthia.
Cynthia, any other suggestions?
Oh, questions? I'm sorry. It was the newsletter.
Okay, newsletter. And I think we have some money in our ADA budget now, don't we, Wendy? We got, with July, the new fiscal year?
We do. I think last meeting we talked about spending the majority on outreach.
Right. Well,
I think the city will be advertising the app sufficiently. We don't need to throw this money at it.
Yeah. Well, it's just one of the reasons we've been pestering you so much, Mark, is that we just have a lot of potential use for disabled folks to be able to do this really efficiently. So if they can point and shoot and send, that's really going to make a big difference for disability reporting and access too. So.
Yeah. The steps are going to be to get the application up and running, dial it in to the way we want it, and then we would submit to have it custom designed for us. So we can give you access to the demo, but before we publish it, we would want to actually brand it with the city of Madera and make it accessible on the on the websites, as opposed to just having it a generic app that they'd have to then find our name in.
Right. Is this something that we could have a disability access category?
I don't know.
Wendy, what do you think?
Sorry, I was trying to find my unmute. I have not looked at how the system is set up, but if I had to guess, that would actually make it more difficult to route it to the correct department. Because a sidewalk issue is going to go to streets. Do you see it? So different issues go to different places. And So what they've done is they've built the system taking into account how they need to route those work orders. So before we start maybe looking at changing them, let's see what Mark shows us, right, as the demo.
Yeah, I didn't understand the question.
Yeah, after we use it a little bit, we could maybe give some feedback if we think the categories aren't clear enough for the public.
Okay. I'm just thinking of an easy way, you know, it would be an ideal situation for someone with an access barrier or a complaint, an ADA complaint, to be able to send it to the city or to code enforcement or whoever would be appropriate if it was specific. It would eliminate some of the confusion, I think. Who should I send this to, or what category type of a deal?
If it was an ADA issue, I would have to route it somewhere that would specifically look at why it was an ADA issue and not a repair. So that would come to somebody designated.
I can think of somebody. No, Wendy's not laughing.
Well, I think
I know.
The system is set up to get the citizen complaint to the appropriate department in the quickest route possible. So if we start trying to make broader categories, then that means it's going to have to wait for for someone to go in and say, oh, that's streets, or oh, that's engineering. Mm-hmm. So they've built the system to try and get the fastest response possible. Would that be an accurate statement, Mark?
Yes, that is. So I, if it's an animal control issue, it routes to animal control. If you have a curb that is not broken, that is an ADA curb, or it's not an ADA curb, but it's not broken. Mm-hmm. At what point do you don't route that to streets, because that would be some sort of a capital improvement under ADA, from my understanding.
Right.
So that would be, that already be in the system? I don't know.
I would just make sure that, you know, something that goes to streets that is not a repair doesn't get discarded, because it's an eight, you know, so long as we can work this out, just as long as everyone's kind of got a feel for what we're looking for. Okay. Any other questions or comments, Cynthia?
No, I'm just really happy to see it moving forward and being completed soon. So thank you very much, Mark, and your staff and everybody.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a welcome addition to the city. I really do. I think it's going to be well received. So, all righty. Any questions before we move on? All righty. So that would take a, thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
That would take us to number three, the block grant funded sidewalk repair. Dan Foss, interim public works director.
Hello, everybody. I think it was your last meeting too. So I just want to touch briefly on sidewalk repair, what that is, what it's going to entail, and it will have some connection to your guys' meeting here. So as DJ mentioned, this is CDBG funding, which is Community Development Block Program. So we get quite a bit of funding every year for that, and we try to identify needs through the city. We'll apply for them. Some of it goes through this type of activity where the city gets it and tries to do improvements throughout the city. Some of it goes through nonprofit organizations, all based upon betterment of the city. We applied for and received $500,000. For sidewalk repair. So I want to stress that a couple times here, that this is sidewalk repair. This is not for new sidewalks anywhere in the city. So some of that will entail or involve where you have ADA ramps and that type of anything of that nature in sidewalks that's damaged or needs to be replaced for really any reason. We should be able to find a nexus to be able to replace that with this funding. We are focusing initially, this has gone out to, well, the RFP has not gone out yet. The RFP is going out in 6 days, I think it is. And RFP, just so everybody knows, is request for, help me, Wendy, what is it? Request
proposal.
For
proposal.
Thank you. But what we're looking for there is we send it out to, we're going to be contracting this out. So we'll be overseeing it, but we won't be actually doing the work. This is a lot of sidewalks we're looking to repair, so the city does not have the manpower to actually do all of that, so we'll be contracting that out. So we'll send out our RFP, we'll get some contractors that will apply for it, hopefully we get several, then we'll pick which one is the best suited to accomplish this goal, and then we'll oversee the actual repair of the sidewalks, and the contractors will go out and repair it. We do have some preliminary data of where all our ADA compliant ramps are. We'll be looking at those individually. We are going to focus initially our initial repair, and it's written into the RFP actually that we started modifying it today for certain different parts of the city. Our oldest sidewalks right now are on the east side of town. We are going to be focusing a lot in that area. That's not to say that if you don't identify or recognize some areas on the west side of town, especially if they're ADA compliant issues, that could use a little bit of love or a little bit of care, that we won't be able to fix those, because we definitely will. But our oldest sidewalks are on the east side of town, where we're gonna give the most attention to with most of this funding. And we don't know how far this funding will exactly go. I anticipate it going a very long way, but this is new to us to some degree. So we are going to see how much we can get replaced. This is also going to include tree removal in some circumstances. We have a couple sidewalks, especially again on the east side of town, where there's very old trees, and unfortunately sometimes they're healthy trees, but they have just destroyed the sidewalk. So we're going to save them where we can, or even move the sidewalk if feasible. Unfortunately, many times that's not going to be, so it will be tree removal included in some of the sidewalk repair. Any questions on that?
I do. Is it? I live in the city on the west side, and my neighborhoods. Are you talking about residential sidewalks, or are you talking about city responsible sidewalks?
Everything. So traditionally in the past is if you live on the west side and you have a sidewalk in front of your house and the sidewalk needs to be repaired, then that is, it sounds like you probably have experienced this, that's your, technically your responsibility. That has not changed. Yep. That it still is the homeowner's responsibility. Now,
so
however,
are we gonna build for that?
I'm sorry?
Will we be billed for that if you guys come in?
No, absolutely not. Okay. If we deem that that's one area that we've designated to repair that section. Now, usually where we're going to designate that it needs to be repaired by us is where I try to judge if it's no immediate and apparent fault of the homeowner. Now, what I mean by that is if you plant a large tree right by the sidewalk and then it grows and tears up that sidewalk, most likely the homeowner probably should have known this was going to occur. Usually where this is going to go into effect, the short answer is this. If we change the sidewalk in front of your house, you're not going to get a bill for it. We are just going to change that sidewalk and make it compliant. If code enforcement goes out and they say, hey, this needs to be replaced, that's another matter. Okay. Now, usually where this comes into play is if you live on, I think it's like Westbury or something, and you go up and down Westbury, it has those beautiful sidewalks along both sides of the road. Technically, those sidewalks are the responsibility, even though they're next to a brick wall, they're the responsibility of whatever homeowner they're closest to. Does that make sense? And I always thought that seemed a bit unfair. And so did the residents when they usually had to replace it. So this funding, we will not be focusing so much on the west side. A lot of those are newer sidewalks, so we shouldn't see extensive damage in there. But I will be focusing on the more heavily foot trafficked spots if we move into the west side. And that would be like on Westbury or Mainbury, where you go up and down and there's long sidewalks that are used quite a bit. But again, our first focus will be a lot on the east side of town, some of the older sidewalks.
Okay. Because one of the most frequent concerns or calls that we get at the ADA is about accessibility and people in power chairs in the street because they can't use the sidewalks because the sidewalks are just simply too rough in some areas. So I definitely applaud you for this. This is going to make a real difference in people's lives. Have you also considered grinding and asphalt patching as well? I know we talked about that at one point.
So asphalt patching, I haven't gone into too much, but we do not do that very well. So that will be an option, especially when we're filling in the gaps between sidewalk and asphalt. Sometimes those are patched heavily. Grinding, we actually had somebody come out and give a demo for it, just so we are very experienced on what we're looking at with grinding. Grinding will be used to some degree.
Yeah.
I am going
cost
to...
Cost effective.
Yes, very cost effective. It's very inexpensive to do that. And it still looks very good. Grinding, I want to say, I can't remember what they can go up to inch-wise. I think it was 1.25 inches they can grind. Now, for the most part, because this is one-time monies, I'm going to prefer brand new sidewalk where I can, because nothing beats just brand new sidewalk. So while we're healthy with the budget, I'm going to try to do full replacement, because that will last longer. When you do grinding, and what she means by grinding is when you have... I don't know if I can do a demo of this on the camera. I'm going to try. So hopefully you guys can see here. You have the sidewalk, they butt up and they're perfect. And then eventually you get one that rises above the other. And grinding will just take and literally cut that down. They use a diamond blade to cut the cement so it's flush.
Yep.
Something was obviously causing that sidewalk to rise. So when you do cut it, traditionally you're buying yourself a couple of years, but it's gonna, we didn't solve the problem.
Mm.
So I do prefer new sidewalk where possible. But again, we can go a real long ways with grinding because grinding is very inexpensive. So if it is a small rise, we plan on identifying those and doing 75 to 100 at a time grindings. Where if there's smaller rises, a lot of those will be on the west side where it hasn't had years and years and years of, you know, the time for the sidewalk to settle and change. Those will be ground down. Very inexpensive.
And then how do you plan on identifying the priority areas?
Well, Wendy has been working with me a lot on this. We do have somebody that's going through and identifying to some degree where those problem areas are. A lot of it is just going to be self-identification. And what I mean by that is we're going to have crews going out. We've certain areas that are real bad, we've been getting complaints on for years. And we'll be able to identify. We already have those identified. We know exactly where they're at. We know what we're going to focus on. A lot of it is we're going to designate specific areas. So, for example, I'll send out a crew and say, hey, I want this area focused on right now, and say east of Gateway, south of 6th Street, all the way down to Lake Street. And we'll literally have somebody go through and drive every one of those sections. It possibly could be the contractor. And if there is a fault in the sidewalk, we'll replace it. Mm-hmm. If we tackle it in small chunks like that, it's not a whole lot to tackle. It's not too much to tackle.
Well, that's why we have such high hopes for the new 311 app. I think that is going to provide a good interface between the public and the city, hopefully, once we get comfortable with that.
Well, that would be nice. That would be helpful too, if we just had if we have all those eyes out there helping us identify. So
mm-hmm. All righty.
Okay, any other questions for me? Go ahead,
yes. Joseph. Yeah, you told some amount, dollar amount. How much funded dollar amount?
I'm sorry?
How much dollar amount funded by CDBG?
It's 500,000. Is that what you're asking? How much dollar amount?
Yes.
Yeah.
500,000.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Cynthia?
Comment. Thank you, Mr. Foss, for taking such good care of us. I know the redevelopment agency got a $200 grant at one time, and they years ago, and they did a lot of repairs, and so we're just continuing to go around the city. And maybe one day we'll get it all done and then have to start all over again. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
It's an important quality of life issue for a lot of people.
So, yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. We'll be in touch, I'm sure.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay. All righty, moving on to item number 4, discussion regarding participation in the 2021 Old Timers Day Parade. Wendy?
So some years we have, some years we haven't participated in the parade. The parade is on for this year. It is Saturday, September 25. And the question is whether or not the advisory council wants to have an entry in the parade. It would be
yes.
Probably
yes.
$45. It might be $100 if they consider you political, but I'll put you in as miscellaneous.
There we go. Cynthia, I think this is your thing and Dennis's thing. So
yeah, I got my new scooter. Oh, you betcha I'll be there.
Okay. And then we'll rope Dennis into it.
And it's at night, right?
No, it's during the day. Let me see if this says 10 a.m. is parade start time. So
really? What's it on a Saturday?
It's a Saturday.
Okay.
So it's okay. Usually the parade goes, I don't know how many entries they're going to get.
Yeah.
Usually the activities my kids are in there, you know, being asked to be on floats, and we haven't seen any of that this year for any of it. So I'm not sure how many entries will be in the parade, but it starts at 10 a.m.
Okay. Yeah. If Dennis will do it with me, he'll, you know, we'll do it.
Okay. And then you'll do the, what is it? The banner, the ADA banner.
Or just the signs on the car or something. Depends on if we have, right, what kind of vehicle. Depends on the vehicle.
Leaflets or candy? What did we do last time?
It depends how close you want to get to the public.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Might be good to wave.
I have a slingshot.
No injury. Yeah, good idea.
So are they going ahead with it for sure?
As of now, the parade is on. Oh, it's for September 25.
All right. Well, all righty then. I'll track.
I'll text Dennis and ask him.
Yeah.
So let me know then, since I confirm, and then I'll go ahead and submit the registration if the two of you confirm.
Okay.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wendy, I had high hopes. Tim and I are going to get together on the social media advertising campaign. I have to just track him down. So.
And that's fine, because I think October is ADA Awareness Month officially. And so we're kind of rolling up to it. We have a little time, but we probably want to shoot for an October campaign.
Okay. Did you have any other thoughts on handouts or materials? I know we did wristbands 1 year. You still probably have some of those pamphlets, right? Coloring books?
Well, we're not doing the fair. Where are you right. going to use them?
Well, just at a, you know, if at the parade, or, you know, if we're doing any outreach at all in October.
I think we still have some stuff at the office. I could be wrong. Okay. I feel like we didn't go through everything before.
Didn't we have a booth one time at the parade? I remember sitting in Courthouse Park.
I believe the advisory council did do the booth maybe 1 year or two, mm-hmm. but found it to have less foot traffic than the fair.
Yeah.
It's an all-day commitment. The booth isn't just the morning. I mean, if you'd like to do that, I think there's a separate form. I'll find it.
Okay.
But we do have to have a commitment from members of the advisory council to be there.
Right. I'm thinking that I would prefer, if we're going to have any type of outreach, I think I would prefer to try the parade booth rather than the fair. The fair is just, I don't know. I'm not comfortable quite with the fair this year. I'm the outdoor booth. I don't know. That might be a different deal. Something to think about.
It's up to the advisory council if
okay. We can have
if you want to staff the booth.
Yeah, just because I think that if we're going to give out anything, or if we're going to make any contact, Cynthia? Do you have any other ideas for outreach?
So the booth in the park, sorry, I'm finding my information. It's 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. on that Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. And it was nice and shady. I mean, it was outdoors. It wasn't mobbed. You know, there was some traffic. And we set up a card table or something, as I recall. Somebody set it up. I think the city set it up for us. Yeah. Okay. Something to think about. We have any volunteers for staffing? Diana?
No, I'm really, be honest with you, I'm just not comfortable with that now. I just really am not, because I really feel like with this variance going out there, I just don't feel comfortable. Not this year. I don't.
Okay. Yep, good to know. Alrighty, so that brings us to number 5, review of the city code of conduct for boards and commissions. Wendy Silva.
Hi, so annually the city council reviews and adopts the code of conduct. It also applies to boards, commissions, and committees, and we are required to provide training. So I did make a brief PowerPoint to walk you through the document, and I'll send you the full policy so that you have it for your reference. Let me go ahead and
put it on a little video presentation. There you go.
Let me share my screen. I did try to keep it as plain as possible in black and white, so it's a little easier to read.
Yeah.
Diana, can I share my screen? Thank you. Downloading. All right, you should be able to see the presentation now. Do you have it there?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll talk quickly, but like I said, I'll be emailing it to you so that you have it. So this is just a brief overview of the code of conduct. The purpose of the code of conduct is to ensure residents and businesses of the city have fair, ethical, and accountable local government. As we go through the presentation, the term members is meant to apply to any member of the city council, boards, commissions, or committees. So it's just a generic term for all appointed and elected officials. So a majority of the code of conduct focuses on ethics. What I tried to do on these slides about ethics is, because there's lots of words, is bold the main points for each one, just to try and help us focus on what we need to focus on. So under this section of the code of conduct, members of boards and commissions will work for the common good and not for private or personal interest, which is what we do. We work for the public. Members will comply with all applicable laws. We do. Members will conduct themselves in a manner above reproach and avoid the appearance of impropriety. They will follow established processes and rules of order, and they will participate in a respectful manner. You're simply meaning we can disagree, that's completely fine, but we do it with respect and in a professional manner. And this next one has to do with the fact that we're subject to the Brown Act and what's called open meeting law. And that's information received from outside sources should be shared in the public meeting if it's relevant to the matter at hand. And what that's talking about is sometimes you receive information from the public. They might tell you their opinion on a topic. Maybe you have 10 people call you about the same topic. Mm-hmm. What it's asking is share that information when you're in the meeting so your colleagues know it too, right? That's what it's asking for. Because under the Brown Act, a public body, like be it this advisory council, the city council, is supposed to make their decision based on only what was shared in the public session. So that's why it's asking you to share so that everyone has the same information. The next item under ethics has to do with conflicts of interest. A conflict of interest is defined as a decision in which there's a material financial interest, meaning there's financial gain if the decision is made in your favor. Members are encouraged to voluntarily recuse themselves from the appearance of such conflicts. And sometimes you'll see this more at the city council level, especially. They may not have an actual conflict, but they'll say, to avoid the appearance of conflict, I'm going to recuse myself. It's just so mm-hmm. that everyone remains above reproach and we can continue with the business at hand. The next item under ethics has to do with gifts and favors. They should not be accepted if they have the potential to influence decisions and judgment.
I have a question on that, Wendy.
Yeah.
Isn't there a dollar limit on that? Like $10, $20?
Anything over, there's a dollar limit. I can't remember off the top of my head. Anything over that amount has to be reportable. Mm-hmm. Meaning you have to report it on your form 700. The advisory council doesn't have to fill those out. Some staff does, city council does, planning commission does. And then there's a dollar limit that you can't accept.
Right.
So there's like a cushion. I feel like it's anything over 50, you have to report. Mm-hmm. And then the threshold that you can't accept is it's more than a couple hundred. I'll say a few hundred dollars.
Okay. And does that apply to lunches and dinners?
Yes, they count. Mm-hmm. So I have to fill one out for this city. nobody takes the HR director out to lunch and dinner. It doesn't matter there. But I also sit on a couple of boards where I have to complete the form. And there are some large vendors that always want to take you out to dinner, right? So if they take me out to lunch once and it's estimated, say, a $35 lunch, I don't have to report anything. But if we go out every month or four times a year and the total of those is $200, I would need to report that on my form because it is considered reportable. So there is a little bit of self, you have to be honest with yourself, right? You have to be honest with yourself. And you have to put it on your form. But yes, lunches, dinners, hats, t-shirts, all of it counts as gifts and favors.
Okay.
Looks like Santa has joined us.
Yes, I'm here. I'm okay. Here. Sorry, I got delayed with, anyway, I could tell you a story, but nobody cares. Anyway, I'm here.
We're glad to have you. So the next point under ethics is that members shall not use resources such as city staff time, city equipment, supplies, or facilities in a manner not available to the general public. So for example, if you went to City Hall and said, I need to reserve the city council chambers, I'm hosting a public meeting. If that's a personal public meeting and we wouldn't do that for a general member of the public, a member of any board or commission should not be asking for that either. There's no special favors in that regard. The next point under ethics is that members shall not appear on behalf of private interests. So what you don't want to do, this happens less with ADA. A good example would be planning commission.
Yeah.
You don't want a member of a board or commission like the city council going and lobbying to the planning commission, because the planning commission is actually making recommendations to the city council. So then you have this conflict of interest. Because someone has expressed a specific opinion, trying to sway, and then now if it's appealed, they have to recuse themselves. So it's a situation where you don't want to put yourself in that predicament, because you want to be able to act as part of your board. Members shall clearly identify when they are representing their own interests and not the collective interests of the board they serve. So for example, if you as an individual speak during public comment at a city council meeting, if you're speaking on behalf of the ADA Advisory Council, that would be something that the entire council would have to said, yes, this is our position on the matter, right? You're representing the council. If it's you as an individual bringing forth something, then you say, this is me, DJ Becker, or me, Cynthia Ortegon, and I have a concern and here's my concern. You would not represent yourself as the ADA Advisory Council unless the Advisory Council said, yes, this is our position on this matter.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Mm-hmm. Members of the City Council shall refrain from unduly influencing deliberations and outcomes of appointed boards. This is very similar to the one I just talked about where I said Planning Commission, because Advisory councils, commissions, boards, your role is to make decisions. And in some cases, you're making recommendations to the city council. And in some cases, the city council is the appeal body. So we need them to be able to act on that next step. But if they're unduly influencing at the lower level, then what can happen is people, that's when we get into litigation. So when we get into litigation, it gets expensive. So we try not to do that. And then members shall support a positive and constructive workplace. Like I said earlier, we can disagree, we can have differing opinions, we can be polar opposites, but we do it in a professional manner, supporting each other. The next section of the code of conduct has to do with conduct guidelines amongst members of the same body. So this is between yourselves. The first is that we honor the role of the presiding officer. In this case, we have a chairperson. If the chairperson's not here, it goes to the vice chairperson. They run the meeting. They recognize the speakers. They call the items in order. They call the meeting to order. They adjourn the meeting. And we respect that process. There's a reason for it. It is what maintains order and civility. The second item is to practice civility and decorum in discussion and debate. So we can disagree, but we do it with professionalism. Avoid personal comments that could offend others. Once again, stick to the business at hand is basically what it's saying. Let's not get personal. Let's stick to the business at hand, and we'll focus on being professional and productive. And then the last item in the code of conduct amongst members of the same governing body is to demonstrate effective problem solving approaches. You know, sometimes it's hard, right? Especially when we're disagreeing, but we need to try and have active discussion and get to resolution. The next section of the code of conduct talks about conduct guidelines when you're interacting with members of the public in your role as an advisory council member. The first is be welcoming and treat people with care and respect. Chairperson Becker does this every meeting. She welcomes everyone that's attending. She invites them to introduce themselves, make them a part of the meeting so they know it's okay to interact. Be fair and equitable in allocation of time. It may not be something you want to hear, but if we gave someone else, you know, an allotment of time, we give everyone an allotment of time. Practice active listening. I heard the best example of active listening when I was actually on vacation about 2 weeks ago. It was a mom and she was leaving the beach with her toddler and she said, "I hear what you're saying about going to the playground, but we're going to have to find another time to do that." I thought, man, she has a lot more patience than me. I would have just said no. but that's an example of active listening. Just acknowledging that you've heard what the person is saying, and sometimes repeating a little bit of it just ensures to them, helps them feel like they're being heard. The next section in the code of conduct advises to maintain an open mind. That's the whole point of public meeting law, right? We join in this public session, we hear all sides before we make a decision. And then the last point in that section of the code of conduct, when you're dealing with members of the public, feel free to ask for clarification, but try to avoid debate and argument because that's not the point. The debate and the discussion is amongst the members of the body. So in this case, the advisory council. The public brings to you their ideas and you thank them and you take the information into consideration. The next section of the code of conduct has to do with interaction between council members, advisory council members, and city staff. And there are 6 points under this one. The first is to treat staff as professionals. And you all do, I can say that. Thank you, we appreciate it. The second bullet point asks that staff not be disrupted from their assigned tasks. And the advisory council doesn't do this either. This would be like if you walked into City Hall, Diana was sitting at her desk and you wanted to take her off and do some other random task that's not part of her normal assignment. This advisory council has never done anything like that, but it is part of the code of conduct, so I have to cover it. The code of conduct asks not that individual employees not be publicly criticized. If you ever have an issue with a city employee, take it to Arnaldo, the city manager. You can bring it to me. If it's about me, you probably want to go to Arnaldo. But if it's about a city staff member, you don't know what department they're in or something, you could also bring it to me and I could help you with the right person to talk to. The next point is do not attempt to influence administrative functions. This means, you know, if someone's applying for a permit, As a appointed person, you should not go to, say, the planning or the building staff and say, "I really need you to approve this." That would be inappropriate. Mm-hmm. It also asks or reminds, should not solicit political support from staff. We are required to be, autonomous when it comes to politics. I've heard it explained, you have to swim in the waters of politics, but not take a drink, right? And so we're around it, but we can't be part of it because we're working for the city. We're not the political body of it. And then the last point in the code of conduct is that there's no attorney-client relationship with the city attorney. The city attorney advises the city and advises, in this case, the advisory council as a whole, but she's not your personal attorney. That's basically what it's saying. It's not a personal attorney relationship. But if you ever have questions, like, is this a conflict of interest? Am I allowed to do this in a meeting? Mm-hmm. Those kinds of questions are things we can take to the city attorney. That is the business of the city, the business of the advisory council. And then the next section, I think this is our last section, has to do with social media. The first is, when you're interacting on social media, basically what it's saying is use all the same ethical standards that we just talked about for public meetings. if you're using social media as a public platform, follow all the same standards we just talked about, you know, treat people with respect. Be aware of the Brown Act open meeting law, which basically means it gets difficult when, let's say that there's a city council's the easiest for me because it's what I work with the most. A city council member makes a post and four more share their opinion in the comments. Well, now we have 5 of 6 city council members on the same post. That's a violation of potentially of open meeting law because you have more than a quorum. So you just have to be cognizant of that and pay attention to it.
Even though it's a comment, not a discussion, because I mean, that's freedom of speech issues too.
It depends. Let's say that they're commenting under the profile of, well, we have council member Villegas here, you know, city council member Villegas, right? If the city, you have to make sure it doesn't become discussion, and it's discussion, a fine right. line on social media.
Discussion. Okay.
And then the last is to be clear whether you represent yourself or the board or commission you're speaking on behalf of. And this applies even to city employees. Mm-hmm. We have to be clear when we post it states, if you're ever posting on behalf of the city, it should be on city social media. If you're ever posting, you know, your own is personal, separate. Mm-hmm. Don't say I'm speaking on behalf of the city when you're posting on your own social media. It's basically what it's saying is don't turn your own social media into the group's platform. The city has social media for that purpose. There is one more section in there. I didn't put it in here. It has to do with direction to city council members on how they need to interact with boards and commissions, but that's for the city council, but it'll be in the document and you can read it. And then the very last section of the code of conduct is what happens if someone violates the code of conduct. If you feel that someone is violating the code of conduct, basically you need to bring it up. It would go to the city council. And I'll be honest, I'd have to ask the city attorney. I don't know if this is open session, closed session, or how it's even considered. But the city council can impose sanctions on the individual. It could be a reprimand. It could be formal censure. And it could be removal from the appointment, as you're all serving voluntary appointments, depending on the egregiousness of the action. So that was an overview for the year of the city's code of conduct for the council and boards and commissions. Like I said, I will email you the code of conduct itself, as well as a copy of the presentation, so you have both.
Is this a different presentation than the council got?
So the one for the city council highlighted the changes between last year's and this year's.
Okay.
But
this
it didn't.
A very, very clear, very, you know, straightforward, excellent type size, very straightforward, you know, much improved because I saw through the other one. So
I made sure nothing on that screen was less than 30-point font.
Well, and on that topic, I got a beautiful one-page flyer from Madera County Elections, 14 to 16 page type with outstanding contrast. And I am just so tickled. So we have a few more things. We have a few more departments over in the county to get through to, but I couldn't be prouder that we're actually making progress because it's readable, clear, no fine print, and actually, we should probably send him a thank you note. So, but I was teasing Becky about it over the weekend via text. So it's just beautiful. So I probably need to get out more.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat there.
Yep. Oh well. No. Never mind. Okay. So, and then I had a couple of questions, Wendy. When is the consultant holding our first meeting on the review of the ADA plan?
So roughly? That was actually, I was going to announce that under item 6.
Okay.
This agenda was slightly loaded because they are going to be at your September meeting to do an introduction.
Awesome.
Uh-huh. This will be the introduction where they basically explain how the process works, what they're looking at, how the public can provide input. So they gave me some information to start advertising the meeting, and I'm gonna work with Joseph Corello to get that out a little bit closer to the meeting. And then they will be on your September agenda to provide, it will be the first under the process of the plan, there's a couple of public meetings. This will be the first outreach meeting to the public.
Okay, so just to be clear, this is where we should have our laundry list of just general ideas and concerns.
Yeah, if you have some specific concerns you want to bring to their attention, you could do that at this meeting, yes.
Okay, so how do we find out the scope of these? Are these the folks from Maine, or was that a different consultant group?
This is Sally Swanson Architects. They are not from Maine. They are in California.
Okay.
Are they down in Sacramento?
A lot of their staff, when I approve the reimbursement requests, are coming closer to the Bay Area.
But they're, okay.
But these are the folks that are reviewing.
Yeah, they're in San Francisco.
These are the folks that are reviewing the 10-year plan.
They're actually doing a whole new one.
Oh, wow.
They're starting from scratch. All of the departments completed and submitted the surveys. We had sent you the example. Those are done. So now they're reviewing the survey results. They have started surveying. They're actually doing GPS surveys of the sidewalks, where we're going to get a GIS map with all the pinpoints of issues and curb cuts. They've basically completed, hang on, I can show you.
And that would include broken sidewalks?
Yeah, they are surveying the entire city. They just sent me a map yesterday showing what they've completed. Let me open it up.
So maybe the city doesn't.
Southeast. Loading.
So maybe the city doesn't need to duplicate that mapping?
We're not. We're relying on.
That'll save a little money.
Yeah, we're relying on them to do the mapping. They're going to also give us a brand new map while they're out and about mapping this of like all the streetlights, because that's been an issue. Yeah. So sorry, it's loading very slowly. Yeah, yeah. But if the map were to load, this section of the city down over here, basically the southeast is where they started, and they've been working their way up, but they've completed a large chunk of the southeast quadrant of the city. Let me see if this one will come up better.
So do they do that with an overlay and they just, or I mean, how do they do this survey physically?
They're literally walking with a machine.
I've actually stopped and asked the guy what he was doing. He was in front of Thomas Jefferson. This is a couple months ago, and he was actually walking right by the Baptist Church. I said, "What are you doing? I'm just curious." And he told me that they were doing it. And I said, "Oh yeah, I'm on the city's. Yeah, this is part of the plan." So he was on one side of the street, and the other guy was on the other side of the street, and they were walking with like a little cart with like an iPad on it, and they were doing it as they went. So
Okay.
So if you can see my screen now, it's kind of small, but the green stars are curb cuts that they've evaluated. And then the red are the ones they haven't. And they've done all this since they started in May.
Okay.
And then here's the sidewalk. And they're literally walking, like Tim just said, they're walking every sidewalk and using that little machine to scan it and log all the defects. The original plan we did, that consultant basically drove around town and went, yeah, there's a curb cut, right? Yeah. This consultant's like evaluating every single curb cut and whether or not it meets current standard, and they're noting what does or doesn't.
Cynthia, are you getting this?
Yeah, I'm listening. That's great. Okay.
Yeah, this is what we've been asking, what you've been asking for. So thank you for getting this off the,
just be aware every 10 years we got to do that. So.
Yep. Okay. Well, that's amazing. And that'll kind of let Mark off the hook and Dan off the hook.
Well, Dan will be able to use the study to make to determine where to make repairs. Yep. They're going to actually start going through all this data they have now from that completed portion and get some preliminary reports to Dan so he can prioritize projects for his $500,000.
Wow.
That's going to be amazing. And that's your district, Artemio.
Right.
That's amazing. That's going to be great.
So that will be the majority of your September meeting. So I think other than the consultant, we'll probably try to keep the agenda a little bit light.
Absolutely. I couldn't, like I said, I need to get out more, but we've been working toward this for how many years? Couple, at least four or five. I think we've been working toward this goal. So this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is amazing. All righty. That beats the parade for sure. And does Dan know about this?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. All righty. I lost my whole train of thought. Goodness. All right. Anything else on that item, Wendy? Good. Well, kudos, because that's really going to make a difference. That's going to be the thing that with the block grant money is going to tie it all together. And that is going to make a huge difference. So I'm ecstatic. Anybody else have any suggestions for future meetings other than the September meeting? Any concerns or comments? Diana?
No. Nothing? You know, well, I do have one. I want to ask a question on.
Okay.
And is the at Courtyard Park, that is that the art building up in there?
Courthouse Park?
Yeah.
Courthouse Park, what about it?
The big building at where they do the memorials and all that stuff. And is that the art building in the middle of that?
No, that's the museum. Historical museum.
Yeah.
The historical museum. Okay. I want to ask the access in order for people with disabilities trying to get in that building if they was to open it. There's no way that people with a disability can get in there.
Wendy?
You know, I haven't actually been inside the building. And what I don't know, why I'm hesitating, I don't know if that is actually owned by the county or if it's owned by the Historical Society.
It's owned by the Historical Society, and it's going to fall under kind of the same ruling as the post office, where you can't, the old whatever rule or whatever it is.
Grandfather clause.
Oh, okay. Because it's just, you know, if somebody with a disability, they couldn't go into that building.
Well, I think there is a ramp on the highway side toward 99. It's probably not the prettiest. I think there is some type of non-conforming ramp over on that side that was an afterthought maybe in the 30s or 40s. I'm not sure, but that would be something that, you know, I could certainly look next time I go by there. They're rarely open, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I just, you know, I know sometime when we get back to kind of some type of normalcy, you know, when they do open, that, you know, people would like to go in and just to visit, because it's just, you got all those steps, but I just haven't seen an area that you can get into it, especially a person with a disability.
Yeah. And then if you get up into the first floor, you're confronted with a beautiful set of staircase to the second and third floor. So it's just a non-conforming historical building. So I don't think they've ever had an elevator, but I have not looked into it. It sits on county property, so it's not a city building either. You know, it's kind of one of those nebulous islands of going.
But Diana, it would be nice if, you know, they should have a fundraiser. The society should have a fundraiser at least to make it accessible, because it was grandfathered in, and it's unfortunate.
Okay, just ask that question.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Lateef, any questions or comments, suggestions for future items?
No.
Okay. Tim's chasing children.
No, I got nothing for you. I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. The doorbell was ringing and we got to giant box in my front door, so no telling how much money we spent.
You and I were going to get together and strategize over Facebook for outreach, but I'll call you for that.
Yeah, shoot me a text. Let's catch up one afternoon. Give me a school just started, and I am burning a candle at five ends right now. But give me a month and give me a buzz.
I missed my shot at that. I'm sorry, I forgot about that.
It's all right.
So, Cynthia, any questions, comments, or anything for the next agenda?
I forgot.
I'm actually writing these things down now.
No, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. And then I had a question about the flag situation, Wendy.
Yeah, I sent you an email right before the meeting. We can return them. Is there any way you can get them to City Hall between now and Thursday at noon?
Yeah, should be able to.
Okay. Well, I have someone, we have to take him back to the store in Fresno, and I have someone who can do that.
Okay.
But he's going to be there Thursday at noon to pick them up. So if you could just get them to City Hall somewhere around admin or HR by Thursday.
By noon tomorrow.
Today's Tuesday.
Okay. I knew that.
So either tomorrow or Thursday morning.
Yes, I can do that.
Okay. Then we can take them back.
Perfect. Because for the reasons that I outlined, it's just, they're just not a good option. So can we then get the contact, the supplier that Dennis found, and go independently through him?
I can ask him. He had said before that his supplier was out of stock. So I'll ask him if he's got more information now, maybe.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And I'll get those to you to the City Hall tomorrow. Any other items or questions?
This is Cynthia. I heard there's a serial ADA sewer guy in, not a sewer guy, in San Francisco area. The guys, they did it on the news. They had a guy in a wheelchair. He's in a serial ADA lawsuit.
Okay.
So I know we had that a couple of years ago. A guy came through here and Fresno and everything. So careful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's unfortunate that puts the ADA in a very poor light, but thankfully we don't have that happening. Right. Okay. So we'll adjourn the meeting at what's the time? 4:34.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Thank you.
Looking forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Bye.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, Diana.
Bye.
Thanks, Wendy and Diana.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.